Good morning. It's time for chapel at the LCFS International Center in St. Louis. The text is St. John chapter 4, verses 1 through 45. The Reverend Robert Zagore is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
The Word of God in John chapter 4. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was now making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee. And he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealing with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with. The well is deep. Where are you going to get living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I give him, it will be for him a wellspring of living water welling up to eternal life. He will never be thirsty again." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come to this well to drink." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying you have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you've said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you say that in Jerusalem is the place where people ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and now is here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is seeking such people to worship him. God is spirit. Those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." Just then his disciples came back, and they marveled that he was talking to a woman. But no one said, "What do you seek?" or "Why are you talking to her?" So the woman left her water jar and went away into the town and said to the people, "Come see a man who told me everything I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the town and were coming to see him. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I think most of us are quite familiar with what we have going on in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. And it's very easy to make the natural and theologically good conclusion that Jesus is giving another exposition on baptism here, because the whole chapter starts out talking about the baptism of Jesus. A wellspring of water rising up to give you living, breathing, eternal life. The Spirit himself comes to you. But there's so much more, because John doesn't just tell us the story by saying that, by giving the theological expression. He tells the story of a woman. This is becoming more and more important to me after my years in the ministry. I was in the parish for 27 years. I know this woman. I've met her time and time again. This woman is in my family. This woman is somebody that I've fed the supper to. This woman is somebody that you know. That's kind of the change that happens as Christianity matures in our lives. I was doing a devotion last night in Psalm 54, and Psalm 54 is one of those that talks about the Lord dealing with our enemies, those who rise up, the people that you've treated with kindness and love, draw their swords against you. They do evil against you, even though you've given them nothing but good. Now, Lord, you've got to do something about these people. And I remember back in seminary, I had a goal. I was going to memorize the Psalms by praying them every single day until I had them all committed to memory. And I'd run into Psalms like that, and I'd say, there has to be a good theological explanation for telling the Lord to take revenge, because after all, that doesn't sound like gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It doesn't sound like it's a very loving approach to people. You're supposed to be looking for folks to redeem and be joyful no matter what the circumstances. And in that psalm, David is talking about taking vengeance on his enemies and all the pain and suffering that he's endured. And as I tried to explain the theology behind it, I often kind of mangled law and gospel because it's a tough thing to deal with. And then I became a pastor. And I no longer had to explain it, because it was alive in my life. People to whom you've shown nothing but grace and goodness in your life, people to whom you've gone, or for whom you've gone out of your way, given money, time, given of yourself, end up not only embracing evil in their lives, but trying to bring it into yours or the lives of the congregation or the people that you love. And that's who this woman was, by the way. Five husbands, and the guy that she's living with now is not her husband. Why is Jesus talking to her? It isn't that he's talking to a Samaritan or a woman, something the culture says not to do it. Why is he dealing with this person who is so obviously the object of scorn of everybody around because she deserves it? I'm not talking about somebody who's just messed up in life. This is somebody who knows the rules. She was quoting what the Lord said in the Old Testament. She knows the facts, and she was messing up on purpose because she valued something more than she valued the word of the Lord, more than she valued what Christ had given, more than she valued what God said would work in her life. And her life was now a mess, just as the Lord said it would be, and she's the kind of person that you should fold your hands in front of you and nod your head and say, let this be a lesson to you. Children, look at this woman. Oh, she messed up. Don't be like her. But of all the people in Sychar that day, the Lord came to her. And nothing that he does is by accident. Of all the people in Sychar that day, having baptized hundreds and thousands the day before, he comes to one and brings to her the water of life. And she, who was so filled with shame and the scorn of the community that she would go out at noon, the sixth hour, she would go out at noon to draw water from the well when it's probably 106 degrees, and she's going to carry this 2.5-gallon water jar back to her home in Sychar, which, by the way, is about a quarter mile away. I did the walk. In the heat of the day, to avoid people, now runs to the very people that she was seeking to avoid. Look, come see a man Nothing new with her, right? In fact, I often wonder as I read this text if when she says, I have no husband, if she wasn't hitting on Jesus. But he loved her more than that. More than to use her. More than to grab her for the moment. He was interested in that which would well up in her for eternal life. That which would always bring good. That which would bring good to all of those that she loved as well. Come and see a man who told me all about myself. Could this be the Christ? Is this the one we've been hoping for? Is this the one we've been waiting for? And something unimaginable happened. Those very people that she was seeking to avoid, those very people that had scorned her, now come running with her to Jesus. We don't have to be prepared to meet him. He comes to us. We don't have to be prepared to receive him. We don't have to fix our lives before we get to him. He comes to us, and he's the one that brings the springs of living water that take a horrible, irrational sinner who does things that he's told us will harm us. And he washes us and makes us clean, but more importantly, makes us his own. Just as he has with you. And with the woman that I know, like the woman at the well in my parish, in my family, in my life, and probably in my future too, and yours. It lets us love our sons and daughters and children and grandchildren and our neighbors, not because they deserve it, but because there we gather before him who sits at the well and gives the water which wells up to eternal life. He who washes us clean and makes us whole. He who out of all of the people in the world, having left the crowds of thousands, comes to one, comes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Joel and Krista Young, who serve the Lord in Kenya. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.